out your bed.
Good morning, good morning.
Don't be asleep, sheep.
Good morning, good morning.
Hey, all, I'm Art.
Hey, everyone. This is Connie, and this is the Get Up Team podcast with Art and Connie. And we're back for another podcast.
Another one.
And then today we're going to talk about motivations, three types of motivation that can inspire you to do anything. So that's what we're doing today. It's like sometimes you have these ebbs and flows. Like some days you get up and you're like super energized, and then there's other times you get up and you're maybe not so energized. And it's saying like that if within a day you can have these ebbs and flows, but like kind of stepping back and figuring out or identifying why you're doing these actions or you're doing this job or whatever can kind of get you through the day. So we were talking about motivation. So we thought we'd like look up some articles and kind of have a talk about what motivates us and or what can motivate us to get us through some challenging period or a challenging day or, you know, just to get us going. The
right.
Get up and go part of it.
Get up out of it all. All right.
So the first thing it says that, I mean, acknowledging the motivation ebbs and flows. So we're not always going to be all up all the time or excited or motivated all the time. But like, you know, things happen and, you know, difficulties or roadblocks or whatever. So just recognizing like, we're not going to always be like on this, like happy, like get up and go. But so recognizing that, but then it says, you know, identifying the why behind the actions you perform can make finding the motivation to do them easier. And then those days when you're feeling, you know, on those days when you're feeling a little less inspired. So whether you're dragging yourself to the gym or fighting the mental battle against procrastination or at work or at school, you can make a mental shift to reconnect with your source of motivation. And this can give you the boost to like get going. So the first type of motivation is extrinsic. So these are all the external motivations. So these are things that are outside of you. So this could be, you know, like rewards or money or things that are like outside of you. So what can we think about that's like an extrinsic thing that might be a motivating factor?
No, what do you think? Like, just making money, I guess that would be one.
Yeah, making money, or if it's like awards or like public recognition. So those are external things. Promotions, career moves, raises, trophies, things like that, that are like outside, that you're doing them for some public recognition. So sometimes it is thinking about these external goals that you might have. Like you might be wanting to purchase a new car, purchase a new house, or just go, you want to go to dinner. So there's some external things and you're like, okay, I got to finish this in order to achieve that or to do that. So, so this one, it says, when you find your inspiration wanting, you can refocus on external rewards. And this is a quick way to recommit to a goal or an activity. So that could be doing, you know, well at work or just sticking to an exercise routine that you've set up for yourself. Mm-hmm. So you find yourself like hitting the snooze button, thinking about these, you know, external things. So it might be like, yeah, you need to get this paycheck because there's some trip that you want to go on, or there's something that you want, you know, that you need this money to do, but you need to pay the rent or the mortgage or whatever. And you're like, okay, let me focus on getting this done so I can get that paycheck to do what I need to do. So that's like the extrinsic motivations. But sometimes I think about that, you know, like I'm like, oh, this job, why am I doing this job? And I'm like, sometimes I feel like, yeah, I don't know. Oh, I'm tired. I don't feel like going in, or I just don't want to deal with something. Then I'm like, no, but there's a bigger picture here. Like, I really want this, whether it's, you know, fixing up the house, or, you know, some people think about like that they are going to do this job so that they can retire, or that they could get this job so that they can move into another job. So they're like, nope, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
So that's all the external things. And, you know, those are like pretty straightforward. Like, you know, if you are paying the rent or the mortgage, or you want a new car or something like that, it's kind of like, those are like tangible things that you can think about to get you motivated. The next thing that motivates people is the intrinsic things. And so those are things that are like internal rewards, or things that are internally, you know, things that you want to achieve internally. Like you might want to learn something new, or you might have something that just makes you feel happy, and those intrinsic motivators. So let's see what it says. So the Journal of Contemporary Educational Psychology defines intrinsic motivation as doing an activity for its inherent satisfaction, rather than some separable result or consequence. So intrinsic motivations might be something that someone finds just fun, or it's challenging. I was listening to a podcast this morning, and they were talking about games and the reason why humans and society, why we have games, and like what benefits do games have for us. And oftentimes what it said is that, and it was interesting, like one of these guys was talking about like, if we lived in a utopia and everything was resolved and we didn't have to worry about anything, we didn't have to worry about where we're living, we didn't have to worry about food or things like, you know, like the daily routines and like things and achieving things to just survive, that was all taken care of. And we weren't trying to solve the world's crisis and hunger and war and all of that, but it was a utopia where everything was taken care of. What would we do all day? And they said that we would create games to keep our mind active, to build like relationships, and how that was just an important thing. Like, you know, whether they were like things that were, you know, most games they said are either played and it's all luck or all strategy. So he was saying how chess is like all strategy. And then there's something like chutes and ladders, which is all like rolling the dice. And so, you know, and then there are games that are everything in between, like part strategy, part rolling the dice kind of things. But that we create these things because it gives us a sense of accomplishment. It gives us a sense of value. We create these worlds where, you know, we are actually in control, you know, so there are certain rules and we play by the rules, and then you have the ability to move forward. And that games create kind of a level playing field because everybody enters the game at the same time. You're all playing by the same rules and you're all given the same resources. And so, you know, we create these games that give us control, but we're also, you know, developing relationships, and we're also developing like social norms. And then this other speaker talked about why it's important for children to play games, because it does give them this construct of where they're learning how to interact with one another, but they're also learning that the idea that, you know, that even though you might lose, you can still continue to play the game and you don't have to give up. It's not the end. And just learning that at that age and with something at that level helps them prepare for life. But back to that, this intrinsic motivation is kind of that, where you're getting value out of just doing something because you enjoy it, or it's mentally challenging, or it's like you're figuring out some puzzle, or you're strategizing, and like that just might be mentally or emotionally satisfying for you. So there's this intrinsic motivation versus like external things that you're trying to achieve for, you know, housing or food or, you know, just survival. So those are the two main things, is like these external versus and these external things. But maybe coming back to remembering those things might help you get through the day. So when things are challenging, you might think, okay, well, there's something I want to achieve that might motivate you. But then at the same time, maybe you might go, okay, let me step back. This is like an interesting challenge to solve. And there's some puzzle-like activity here that I'm working on, and like it might be mentally interesting. So that could also motivate people. So I don't know. Do you find like that is like kind of how your days go, where there's these ebbs and flows and you like need to get some, you know, you need to think about the motivation of it, like why you're doing it, or that you have to find that joy in doing something that you've been doing like on the regular.
Yeah, I think that we all have a certain amount of goals that we want to achieve. And if you're actively trying to achieve them, you know, you're going to have different days where you're more empowered than others. And so you go out there and you try and do something, you know, just trying to do something. Sometimes it's challenging. The act of doing is sometimes challenging. So you have to try and keep your ebbs and flows in check. You know, if an ebb is the worst of it, right? The flows is the best of it, right? So in that correlation, you're just trying to flow more than ebb, and you're trying to hit more peaks than valleys. But for all of us, we're just trying to achieve something, and that requires effort, the act of doing. And when you're trying to do that, you're going to have these motivators that you need to pay attention to, or else you're not going to have the strength to go through all of those things. You're not going to. So some people it's money. Some people that's all it is. Other people it's the act of finishing what they start. Mm-hmm. And other people, I think that's where you're going to get into next, is something more connected, you know, and some people will do some shit they hate just because they want to take care of the people they care of. So I think that might be what you're getting into for the next one, right?
Yep. The next one says the third motivating factor is the desire to provide for the ones you love. And so that it says family, but I think it could be family, but it could be expanded. And really it is to take care of people that you care about. And so that's the third motivator. So it says, a new study published in the Academy of Management Journal looked at a group of factory workers whose job entailed performing the same mundane task day after day and without any rewards for good performance. So it says that there was an absence of intrinsic and extrinsic motivators. So they weren't necessarily getting bonuses for doing better, and it wasn't like mentally or emotionally satisfying. But the researchers found was that for people who lacked both kinds of motivation, they were spurred on by the third factor called family motivation. And this was those who identified with this statement, they said, I care about supporting my family. And so they're continuing to do this work because they have someone or people in their lives that they need to take care of financially. And so that was their motivator for doing work that wasn't, you know, extrinsically or intrinsically like motivating. So I don't know. We had a lot of discussions about that, about like doing jobs that you care about and not getting stuck in something that you weren't, you know, motivated to do. But I guess there is like something valuable in doing that, because you have some bigger purpose, right? And in some ways that kind of seems like it's intrinsic, but I guess intrinsic is more personal, like you're getting value out of it, like by doing this act. So you're like, somehow it's enjoyable to you, or it's mentally challenging to you, versus like this, where it's about being able to take care of people around you that you care about. And it's not just necessarily about like rewards, but there's like some inherent, like, I need to take care of these people, so I'm going to take these jobs. And I guess, you know, you hear about that all the time, you know, families, parents who have jobs and they are, you know, they have kids to take care of, or they have siblings, parents that they need to take care of. So you make certain decisions in order to take care of those people. So that actually, I mean, to me, that kind of ties into extrinsic, because it's like you're working because you want to, you know, need certain like paychecks and things like that. But I guess it's slightly different, whereas one, you're working to move up and it's about personal gain and rewards and recognition, versus this where it's really about taking care of other people. So I don't know. I know you talk about that, you know, you want to take care of your family and things like that. So does that resonate?
There's a bunch of different points in that. It's that, you know, your family is important to you, and so you want to do the most that you can so that you can take in the most benefit, so that you can benefit them. Meaning there's a tie-in from the one extrinsic being a salary motivator, and that feeding into the reason why you want that salary to keep growing and you want that thing to keep bubbling is because you want to influx your family with the most tools and benefits and access to things, and some excess, I suppose. You want to give them that opportunity to live that type of life. And so you can be a person that ends up thinking about the family first, and you get a job that matches how you want to take care of them. Like, it's not a passion so much as it is, I can do this. I can do this job, and it's going to get me to a certain level of money that I'm going to make, and I'm going to be able to have a family, because what my goals in life include having a family, a wife, kid, dogs, all that stuff is in their brain. So they're like, what kind of thing can I do that will hopefully give me enjoyment, but more so I want to take care of my family very, very well. And there might be a person that has a hobby that they're into, or they might have some other skill sets that they're afraid to go into because they're not sure that they'll make the money that they can to be that provider, to be that person that can grow up in life to like still get that goal of family while taking care of family, while still indulging their passions, which is number two, intrinsic, you know? So it's like, all of those things tie in a very interesting way, because I want the best for my family because I've always wanted a family. Number two, my reward is that I have a family. My get is that I got a family, a wife and kids. I got the whole thing. I got to take care of them. I want to make more money so that I can take care of them better. All of those are working almost together in some weird, bizarre way, that you're getting this benefit from all of it. That's why I think is for me, I may be able to take care of myself just fine, right? I can live the free life that I have and take care of myself just fine. But when I have the thought of taking care of someone else, the desire to want to take care of someone else, I start to think of, I have to get more. I want to get more because I know what I want to do for that person I care about. I'm going to be fine by myself. Where I'm at right now is not going to change until I die. So I'm very secure in that. But once I add another person or persons into my life, I got to start thinking in a different way. And that bag becomes real important for me. And that whole level up, because I'm not going to pull them through some bullshit that I can handle by myself just fine. But maybe I don't want them to have to deal with anything. Even if I live, even if I make 100 grand a year for myself, once I bring somebody else into it, or once I bring two kids and another person into it, that 100 grand is going to operate a lot differently than it does for me singularly. Now, some people might say, well, that person should have their shit going and you should have your shit going. My concept of family is not them making another 100 grand too, and I'm making another 100 grand and we just make that work. No, I'm not bringing kids into that situation. I don't see that as a thing living in LA, as I'm going to have the best life for myself, her, and them. A lot of people can do it. No disrespect to them. But for me, what I want, there's a huge motivator in me getting that so that I can provide that thing that I want for the people that I love. That first extrinsic thing and that last family or care about thing are really tied together for me. And I don't get away from that very easily when I'm a person of logic. You know what I'm saying? I think other people are emotional with this shit. And they're like, man, I got my wife, I got my kids. I make 85K, she makes 75K. Boom, we're gonna make it work. I love that. It's beautiful. I just don't see that. I don't see that. I want my bag to be big so I can do what I can do down here. And that's why the number two is the most important. Are you happy first? Are you good with your life first? Are you everything and everywhere you want to be first? Is that something that you've thought about all the way through? Because get that straight. Be intrinsically rewarded by what you do and what you pursue in life. And then all these other things are just sprinkles on top. You know, I do what I love, but I make a hell of a lot of money. Because I do what I love and I make a hell of a lot of money, I got a lot to give. All tied in.
Yeah. It says, just to, the last thing here, it says that those identified with the statement, I care about supporting my family, felt more energized and performed better each day, even when they didn't find the work enjoyable and had no financial incentives to perform it. And then it said that there was an organizational psychologist who said, every job, whether you're washing dishes or performing kidney surgery, provides us with the opportunity to affirm our identities as capable, respectable individuals upon whom the most important people in our lives can rely. So
that's what it's all about. It takes us back in history. I mean, we are foragers and hunter-gatherers, and we're from this whole thing primally that has to do with taking care of each other as a village. All of that's still in us, just because we choose to get in our little personal spaces with our just mind type of attitude. We're still connected to our primal nature, which is to take care of each other, or take care of your tribe. I'm going to say to take care of each other. Take care of your tribe.
Take care of your tribe, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm with that as far as, I don't know, money got in the way of a lot, but it's still the driving force for a lot of motivation in a lot of people's lives. I mean, it's the reason, like you said earlier, that people do shit. Like, if you didn't have to do shit, like food fell from the sky, you just opened the fridge, it was
everything
full all
is
the
provided.
Time.
Medical,
yeah, your car
food.
Works all the time. You have free concerts, you have free parks, you have free movies. What else do you buy? Vacations, you get on a plane, no charge, go someplace. I mean, if all of that was what it's supposed to be, and there was no need for people to work at all if they didn't want to, but they could still live a quality life, then what's going to be your motivation? It's going to be your tribe. Being
taking care of your
active.
People.
Yeah, being active, you know, amongst your tribe. That's where the games come in. Just entertaining yourselves for the most part, keeping yourself sharp and entertained. I mean, the games came from hunting and things like that. You would teach your kids things through games that would help them in life later, you know. Teaching mm-hmm. them to hunt was a game. Teaching them how to do things around the village was a game. You know, you have to do that with kids. I mean, our education does that with kids to this day. They make everything a learning system of a game or some sort of kind of meme of sorts. These kids are just kind of sponges for whatever the system wants to program into them, using games, using music, using lights, using sound, using puppets, using all these things that are games and fun and, you know, but it's really teaching you how to assimilate.
But it's trying to teach you how to survive later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess you got to find your motivation somewhere. So any one of those are great by themselves, but they all seem to weirdly tie together in our modern society. They all have to kind of be flexing.
Yeah, it says that, you know, when it is like taking care of your family or your tribe, like it is both intrinsic and extrinsic, like it's all tied together, because you're on the one hand taking care of your family, which is an intrinsic thing, but then you need like certain financials to do that, which is an extrinsic thing. So it kind of all ties in on some
level. Yeah, they're just breaking it down like fractions for fancy reading, but it's still something that's very primal, and our ancestors did it without all of that. It was just kind of in us.
But you hear about people moving from their country, leaving everything behind to move to another country, and then they just have family or whoever they're taking care of, parents and children or siblings or spouses, and they just get whatever kind of job they can get in the beginning. They just get the job and they work so that they can like put food in people's mouths and like a roof over their shoulders. And then, you know, they just work hard. And that's how like a lot of, you know, my family is like, they worked hard and then they expect the next generation to like go to college and like do better.
Yeah, they did all that stuff they had to do to give you a better life. Give you a better life.
And like that you're able to like make a better life for yourself. And then the next generation, like those parents, we're all like, oh, you should be happy in what you do. Because our parents never told us that. And now this next generation, we're telling them, be creative. Do something that makes you fulfilled and happy. And
yep. All of that practical advice through the world wars, World War One, World War Two, all of the kind of pride and just working and being blue collar and just bringing home a paycheck, that's totally changing now. And people are like, I'm not staying here if I'm not happy, if I'm not fulfilled. I don't like you. I don't like this. I'm leaving. Like, this is the new generation of that. They do not.
Yeah.
They
but people work that are shit. Coming over from other countries, they're working.
Yeah. They'll come over and grab all
the
jobs.
They're taking whatever job they can get. They're surviving.
Yeah. They're keeping the system going, though. The system doesn't want you to be dreamers. The Swiss system doesn't want everybody to be creative and try and pursue their passion.
These people that are actually doing stuff, picking vegetables and manufacturing things, you know.
The basics of life are what keeps society moving. If you didn't have those trash guys picking up your trash, if you didn't have those street sweepers sweeping up your streets, you see how fast the highways would shut down, the streets would shut down. Garbage would be spilling out everywhere. The whole place would be a stench. It would look like Idiocracy. Yeah. It would look just like that. And so we know where the infrastructure is, and the system knows. It's like, oh yeah, go do your little, you're an artist. Oh, you're an author. You're a musician. Oh, how cute. You're an actor. Yeah, thank you. Please distract these people to actually do shit for society. Let them go to the movies on the weekend and the concerts on the weekend, because we need the infrastructure to stay together. You know, we don't have electricity. We all run into each other. Those are the things that keep society going. People forget because they are distracted with providing and with entertainment. But they forget like how fragile this whole system really is that we do, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, they shut down the borders. Like there was something in some news article about that they changed the regulations for trucks to come through Texas. Right. And they had all this produce backed up for like, it said 80 days, and all this produce and veggies were like going to waste, and how that's going to affect the whole economy. And it's not just in Texas, but like our whole global economy, because we're dependent on the produce that's coming in from Mexico, and we're dependent on car parts.
The truckers. Yeah.
So having this blockage at the border is going to create higher prices for all of us.
That was
and
one thing that we learned.
So if you're in certain areas, you're not going to be getting your fresh vegetables, and you're not going to be getting your car.
They did that with Canada, didn't they? Over this COVID shit, right? Wasn't it over the COVID stuff, or what was it? I forget what it was at. But
immigration. This was about Texas making the regulation more difficult for trucks to come through the border that were carrying goods into the U.S. because of, you know, illegal immigration.
Right. And I'm saying they echo what was happening for the border at Canada, where all those semis just parked for weeks and shut down the whole like stores were empty and things like that. And it was like the politicians at the top were just like, this can't happen. You know, I've seen how much trucking like in our whole nation is the back, like the backbone of how we actually operate our stores and our fast food and our, you know, all that stuff. Just eating in itself is based on the backs of truckers, and they don't flex their power very often because they usually get catered to for the most part. But whenever they do choose to be all together, it shuts everything down. It's a weird thing.
Would shut down. We won't get anything because they're the ones moving produce around. They're the ones moving gasoline around. They're the ones moving any kind of appliances or parts, autos. Everything. They're moving that stuff around. And I think the other thing is that now everything is like such a global economy. So it's not like, oh, you're in California and you're in the US and you're only using US products. Like, we really get a lot of parts and vegetables and food from all over the world. And when something shuts down, it really affects everything. And it's the prices. I can't even imagine what it's like right now over in the Ukraine, where they're not able to get all the supplies that they need. And so, yeah. And then we're all here complaining about higher gas prices, but we're just about to, like, food prices are about to go up as well, right? Because if you have higher gas prices, that affects the food cost, but also the supply is not as there's.
No, you see how we easily we got off of our whole shit because of the way that we're forced to deal with the system. That's that extrinsic motivation ticking in like a big dog, because it's like, you and I could just go off on a tangent about just what how delicate the infrastructure is if we don't get the stuff that we need. If we don't grow our shit, we don't gather it, we don't hunt it, we go to that darn Gelson's, we go to Ralph's, we go in and we get our shit. That's the way we're conditioned now. We don't understand that if they stop this trucking and all this other stuff, our jobs that we work for that extrinsic, that money don't mean nothing, because there's nothing on the shelves to buy. There's nothing in the box to pump into your car. Some
things, but they're going to just be that much more expensive. So that then you have a limited supply. You might get two avocados. Now you only get one.
Right. We are so spoiled that whole system is what we work for. Convenience, for ease of access. We work for all of that. That's our motivator. God dog it, I get in my car, my one car. I don't get on public transportation. I get in my car. I go to my desk. I have my lunch. I take home. I go to my dinner. That's in my fridge. Everything is about your comfort zone being maintained by this extrinsic reward that is called your friggin' paycheck. And until you can get over that hump, going hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck, ain't gonna never relieve that. The people that can feel something different are people that make lots more money. What's their motivation? Money. Extrinsic. Once again, they hope that God there's an intrinsic factor.
Decision making. It's like the more money, that's what I realized. It's like issues come up, but if you have enough cash to deal with it, it's not that big of an issue, right?
Floyd Mayweather's daughter just stabbed somebody.
Whatever, like if you have the money to fix it, okay, you just deal with it, right? So like life is just less, I mean, you're still dealing with the same stuff, but if you have the money to resolve it, it's just easier.
That's what I'm trying to say. Floyd Mayweather's daughter just stabbed somebody. She got 6 years probation. If you don't tell me that's not money, right? That's what I'm trying to tie it into what you're saying. Floyd Mayweather's daughter just stabbed somebody. She got 6 years probation. She'll be off in two with good behavior. That's the difference between a poor person stabbing somebody. This whole thing is about the more money you have, the more that you can get done and do for those that you give a damn about. That's why I say, if I give a damn about you, I'm going to have to go for that extrinsic motivator. I'm going to have to. And I'm honest with people about it. You know it. I am like, I want to take care of things at a certain level. I'm not going to bore you with the details of what needs to be done to get this thing, but I'm going to get it, damn it, because I do want to take care of things that matter to me even more so. Taking care of myself is a wrap. But my motivation now deals with extrinsic and family or people I care about. Those two things are right there for me. And I wish I would have had it earlier, because earlier I was just like, all was number two, intrinsic. I get to do music for a living and I can friggin' survive in this world doing it. Woohoo! I'm good. What about everybody else in your family? Once you start thinking that way, that's another thing. Once you want to take care of your nieces and your, really change their life, really leave them and their kids with something that's a that's a whole nother even way of thinking. I'm good by myself. Somebody that's making 75K is good by themselves. I don't know why they want to bring 2-3 motherfuckers into this world. I don't know. 75K, man, you make 75K. You got yourself kind of straight. Kinda. You want to get a wife and 3 kids? See, I'm not dissing nobody though right now. I'm trying to say the truth and logic the way I see it. It is not other people's points of view. Go ahead with that 75, 80K a year. I know many people do it and they still bring 3 kids into this world. But don't complain about the hardships. You want to put all 3 of them through college, you better start early. Don't have them messed up when they 18, they ain't got nothing. Give them the best opportunity to succeed. Can you do that with 75, 80K? Go for it. I love it. I support
it.
It
depends
that.
Where you're living. I mean,
it depends on,
that's why people
it depends
are
on a lot.
Out of California, out of LA.
Don't come out here.
Because they're, you know, I mean, on $75,000 a year, you could, that's decent in certain parts. Oh, I mean, yeah, in so LA, it's hard, but outside of LA or outside of California.
that's why I'm trying to apologize while I'm saying this, because I'm like, I know that. I know about Toledo, Ohio. I know about Cleveland. I know about these places where, yeah, 75, 80K, I'm doing it. And so I'm not trying to besmirch that. I'm saying that your intrinsic happiness has to be settled with that. And then you want to do stuff for your family as well. I bet you chasing that number one extrinsic more often. If that's where you peak, that's where you peak. Do what you can for your family with that 80K per year. More power to you. That's a good living, like you're saying. That's not nothing to sneeze at. But I'm saying, you start bringing 2-3 kids into this world, what are we talking about? And then, you know, somebody tell me, it's just like, you got to live within your means. Okay. I got to go back to number one then, because maybe I should earn more. I'm an ass. Sorry. Bring 1 kid, 2 kids max. And if your shit ain't together yourself, don't bring nobody else into your shit without your shit being together, man. That's not fair to them.
It's not.
It's not. So I like all the motivations in life, though. I want to be happy, and I got that part. I want to make other people happy and increase their lives. I'm working very, very diligently on that, and that's a motivating force in my life now. That's why I want the gig platform to come off without a hitch. I want it. That's why I want these big influxes of cash beyond what I've been able to deal with and amass in this life already. I want to do that for giving it back and leaving a legacy. That's my motivation. That's my motivation right now. It is not to eat or have a roof over my head or anything like that. That's going to be the case.
That's,
you know,
the next level.
It's the next
right
level.
Right now, I'm just trying to put a roof over my head.
And I want to.
I'm trying to keep the roof over my head. That's where I'm at right now.
And you are bold, you know, and you got people that want to help you out too. I know. So, you know, it's like, you know, you got to think about all of those things as it pertains to you. But, you know, there's people that care about other people that want to help people be everything and more. And that's kind of where I live. I got very specific people in mind that I'm just like, I got to help them. And I want to die with saying that's still helping people. That's that thing that you worked hard for. Was to help other people after you're gone, and definitely to help your family and the people that you love. I think that's because I don't know how people get super rich and don't do nothing.
Well, most people that are super rich do end up doing something, starting a foundation or something.
I was just reading
an article about Jeff Bezos's ex-wife and how she's like one of the biggest philanthropists right now, and
she better be. That man, look at her, just giving away the money that she earned with him, and that, you know, that during that long years she was definitely a contributor to his success. So she got that $100 billion and she's throwing it out there. She got herself a school teacher and she's throwing chunks out there. She's you know, hey, that's great. That's a great thing to do with your money. And you can do anything you want with your money, right? But her motivating force right now is to be a philanthropist. And that's a great thing. I also saw the son of a guy that owns a recording engineering school and art school. His dad's a billionaire. He doesn't want to tip his Uber Eats driver. Said he's already got a lot of stuff tied up in delivery fees and taxes. What's this tip stuff about? He said, I'm not just made of money. I don't just generate it from nowhere. I'm like, there's a lot of people that is exactly what it is. You know, you don't want your legacy to go to your kids sometimes if you're a billionaire. You're like, you're just a snot-nosed brat. You don't even know how to build it. I think people that build it appreciate it. People that just are inheriting it, they don't know what to do with it either. What's their motivation? No, they don't need more money.
It's not extrinsic.
They already have it coming to them. They have $1 billion coming to them. Intrinsic, they don't know how to do anything. They've never cultivated any talent or anything because they didn't have to. People like them already socially. Peers are in awe of them. So they're not developing anything. And then family, I guess.
Yeah, but then do you think that that's the family's, you know, like that's like instilling certain values and things like that for your children? Like that's the parents' job, you know, to create challenges for their kids or to give them like experiences where they can grow as a person, you know, or have certain. I mean, you don't want your children to suffer, and I'm not saying that, but you want them to experience things so they can appreciate things and that they can, you know, at the end of the day, everybody wants to contribute to society in some way, right? Even if you are in a situation where you're not born, where you're born with money.
You still want
to be a contributor to the world and not just be like somebody who's never done anything and is an asshole, right? Or whatever. You still want
to your point, like, yes.
You know.
But you're saying it the wrong. You're saying it like, oh, there are good billionaires in the world. It's like yes, there are good billionaires in the world. The kids of billionaires are good as well. There's a lot of billionaires that teach their kids a lot of very, very strong principles because they don't want a snot-nosed asshole kid, right?
Like it's just a spoiled kid. Like nobody said going, I'm gonna have a spoiled kid. Like I don't get, like whatever.
But that's the thing about the inner workings of it all. I've had a couple of privileges to be from the difference of a billionaire and a millionaire. I've met both now in my journeys, and there's just still a difference in the comfortability of those children, even though they're some of the most giving children ever. Even Trump was taken to collect cans and bottles by his father when he was growing up so that he can know what it was like to kind of have to salvage for their shit. But you still hear him saying, my dad gave me $1 million small loan, just $1 million. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's a small loan.
This is still in your brain, this cushy place that like, you know, and then let's not even talk about connections. Your last name alone, connections, family. I think IBM executives were at Bill Gates' house when he was a kid. You know, so these are things that are actually happening without the kid even doing anything for it. And there's people like us that have to figure out a way to get into those circles, you know, to get the same benefits. Yeah. So if you're a billionaire kid, good for you. If I'm not making sense on the 80K a year, I say more power to you on that. I just say that make sure you're cool to the hilt. And if that's cool, then add on to that if you want a family. Add on to that. Get yourself comfortable, and then you want a family, add on to that. Go back to the extrinsic rewards.
Some people start out, it's the opposite. They somehow got a family. And then they like figured out, I got to work now, and I got to move up.
I got to get more.
Like, I got the family. Now I got to do all this. I got to take care of them. And that motivates them to like, get to wherever they're going.
What's your most important motivator to close out this mug? Because I know we're going over.
Oh, I mean, right now. like I said earlier, right now I'm just trying to keep the roof over my head. I'm just trying to like make sure like I'm not like I've been through periods where I'm struggling, and I'm like, okay, paycheck to paycheck, trying to pay the rent and all the other bills, and like everything's still not like negative. You know? I'm like, all right, just paying off all the debt and just trying to like be at a level place. I'm just trying to get to a level.
So it sounds like your motivator is one. You want that money.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there was a period where I always thought like, oh, I don't care about money. I just want to do something creative, and I'm just going to, like, I'm just going to take jobs, even though they can pay a lot. And then you get to some point in your life where you're like, oh, man, I'm struggling. Like, I'm always struggling. Why am I struggling? I don't, then you go, I don't need to struggle. And so now I've made a switch where I'm doing things that are like intrinsically valuable to me, that I have a certain enjoyment, and I'm doing things that I wanted to do, but I'm also getting paid for it. So now I'm just at that point where now I want the extrinsic things in addition to the intrinsic things. Some people start out the other way. They like get out of school and they're like, okay, I'm gonna get a job, I'm gonna make money, I'm gonna buy a car, I'm gonna get a house, and da, da, da. And they start out with the extrinsic things, and then they get to some point in their life where they're like, oh my God, I've been working at this job, I've been doing finance, or I've been doing this, and I've made a bunch of money, but I'm unhappy. And I kind of was always like, well, I don't want to be those people where it's just working for money. I want to do something that is like going to be fulfilling and that I have a passion for, and blah, blah, blah. So I pursued that early on, but I really didn't make any money and I was struggling. And so at some point I was like, okay, now I need to focus on extrinsic things as well. And so now I'm able to do both. And so I'm just at that point where I'm like trying to pay off all my debt, keep a roof over my head, and not be in a financially difficult place. And so then the next step is kind of get that in order and then think about the next level of like,
can you imagine being in this state that you are? We got to end it up, but could you imagine being in this state right now when you started out being like early on, you started here where you are now. And then you say to yourself, okay, where I am right now, I want to add 2 kids. Could you imagine, like right now you're feeling like you're getting to some equilibrium, right? And you're like, okay, I'm good. I got the roof over my head. It's easier to maintain that I'm doing something that's intrinsically satisfying. Now is where I add 2 more lives for 18 years. You've got to really want that, right? Because you're going to have to go for more extrinsic.
Like if I had that 5 years ago, then I would have been on that path 5 years ago. Where right. It would have been like more important to like, have a house and put a roof over, because it was just me and I was willing to sacrifice that stuff for myself. But if I had kids 10 years ago, I wouldn't have sacrificed those things. So I would have just been at a different place.
It would have been more extrinsic reward so that you could level up. Like you got equilibrium for yourself, but now you want a couple of kids and a husband and the whole thing like that. Or you, no, I want in this era, you just want 2 kids. But you still got to add now to wherever you're at, that's equilibrium.
Yeah, because now you have 2 more lives. If I had that before, I would have added it then. I just didn't know.
Yeah, the hypotheticals of it are that you, wherever you find that place that you are, where you're at now, where you're doing something you enjoy and you're getting paid for it, that's one step. Now to add to you other people is another step. And that may make you choose more extrinsic rewards over intrinsic rewards. You're already doing intrinsic.
I would have chosen that before.
I get that. You're saying that if I had thought about it,
I would have had different motivators. So it would have just been a different path.
You would hop to the money.
It would have taken me to the same place.
It would have taken you to the same place?
I think so. Maybe I would have just gotten there earlier, faster. Mm. Mm. I would have been forced to get there faster. If I had other people to take care
of. I think
care.
You would end up doing stuff that wasn't necessarily as creative.
I just took a slow route the way it is. But I probably would have just gone here faster.
I think you would have taken a completely different turn. I think that would have been a whole different way. And you would have done it for them. For those snot-nosed rags upstairs and your house that need you more than you need to be happy in yourself. If you could have all of that, like a lot of people go for, sometimes, you get all the money in the world to take care of them the best that you can. But other times it is just about, I love my kids and I'm doing the best that I actually can for them. I'm doing everything that I can within my power. And this is all I can do. There's so many people that are like that, man. It's not everybody's got MBAs or talent or different things that like they're out there, like you said, on 70K, just popping off with their families, just doing it, you know? So I give my hats off. My hat's off to them, and their motivations are very pure, very nice. I think that's a cool thing. And you too, for having the thoughts now to be happy and getting the money, you know, good for you. My motivation is to give stuff away. That I want to leave stuff that can still be given after I'm gone. That's where I'm at. If I can get that, cool. I say when I get that, cool. And then I wonder what the challenges will be from there. Because that'll be, now there's no hustle. What is life without the hustle? We should do a podcast on that.
Then we'll be playing games. We've got to look into game ideas.
All right. I'm with it. I like this topic because I hope it just motivates people to be motivated for all the reasons, not just money. Money's a good motivator, but there's all kinds of reasons to be out there getting shit.
Let's see if there's anything else before we wrap up.
I'm not trying to rush you. I just know we were going on a good clip there to have a short show, and then now we got into stuff.
It was interesting. Okay, so, but yeah, I think that's it from this article. We'll post it, and we'll see you in the next show.
There we go. I'm Art.
I'm Connie. This is the Get Up Team podcast, and thank you for listening, and remember, don't be a sleep sheet.
Yeah, like, follow, subscribe, show some love, eat a little sunshine for breakfast. Oh, I wasn't going to forget to say it. What? I'm not going to forget. Come on.
No, I know you said it.
Bye.